Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I like science, so that's why I brought my slinky.
Now, I think he's the future of, like, sports.
You can never have enough slinkies in the world. You never know when you might need one.
When he's in the booth on EI, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Slinky challenge, science. Here we go.
It kind of annoys me sometimes that, like, Brad Froh, he's not, like, in that upper echelon of EEI characters, but I think he should be. But take Wiggy to the
I'm a fan of Wiggy, too, but
everyone loves Wiggy. I like Reamer.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
I like how it's said. I like Reamer.
Who was that?
Will Noonan, who's a big fan of the show, Wiggy.
Okay.
He's a Boston area comedian.
All right.
Big fan of yours. Big fan of Rob's.
Right, Will.
Kind of a backhanded compliment, though. You know, Bradford's not an upper echelon WEI character.
I'd like to know
but
what
he should be.
What is upper echelon? Who like his, you know, NFL had their top 100 players.
Yeah. Right.
What is top, you know, top five or top 10?
You would be an upper echelon character at this point. You've established yourself. I used to be. I don't know anymore in this new world.
I tell you, the echelons are a change in this place.
They're
like,
fluid.
They're very
fluid. It's a fluid situation.
Very
everything's fluid.
It's a fluid situation. So this Tyreek Hill story came out Friday. The NFL announced that they will not be suspending Tyreek Hill with the child abuse incident he was involved in over the offseason. Of course, the investigation was closed last month. No criminal charges have been filed. They can always reopen the investigation. It is worth noting, though, that the Kansas Department for Children and Families is still investigating here. Their young son, Tyreek Hill, and his fiance, Crystal Espinal, broke his arm. Kansas law enforcement made two visits to their residence within 9 days of each other in March to check this out. So this has all been going on for the last several months. The NFL announces that Tyreek Hill will not be suspended. So the question is, why? Because not only do we have Tyreek Hill's history of domestic violence, and he did plead guilty, by the way, to domestic battery in 2014 for beating up Crystal Espinal, who was pregnant at the time, is now ex-fiance. But we also had harrowing audio that was leaked prior to the NFL draft.
Harrowing.
Oh, did I say harrowing?
It was kind of a horrific and harrowing combination.
It's okay. Bad. How about just bad audio?
Stop
audio.
Trying to use big words.
Right. Reflected. And I should learn
some
from you.
Some uncomfortable audio.
I'm a reader, not a speaker. Your old son in the chest. So the audio is terrible, but there is a full 11-minute tape. And according to NFL insiders Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, the NFL listened to the full 11-minute audio tape, and they said on our airwaves Friday that this tape exonerates Tyreek Hill, that it clouds in, that it puts into question not just the child abuse incident and his culpability for that from the offseason, but also the 2014 domestic abuse incident as well, which, again, he pleaded guilty to. So
see, I don't get that, and I've been listening to it because I did read your article, and I didn't see that the link was in there. So I'm through like the first 3 minutes of the full 11-minute audio. And that's a good thing you talk about the 2014 thing, right? Incident. But he keeps asking her on this audio, especially in the beginning. It's within the first 3 minutes. I want to go back to that incident. I want to go back to that because
she's talking about
you
their
lied,
son's broken
you
arm.
Lied, you lied about it. I never hit you. I think the problem is, and just in this case, it's so because there's it seems like they're both of them are such like vile people. You don't really know who to believe.
Well, and that's the big takeaway, that this does not seem like a household where a young son, where a young boy should be.
Right.
Any kid. And the kid was removed
from
this.
Where is the kid now?
I don't know if he's back with them. The NFL said in their statement Friday that they believe and they are sure of the fact that the kid is safe, but because the kid was removed from the house mm-hmm. a few months ago. The Child Protective Services did remove the kid from the Hill and Espinal household, which you're right. You listen to this audio. You say this is one toxic relationship, and these are people who should not be trusted with any young life. But let's go to Ian Rappaport, who's on with Dalen Keefe Friday afternoon, talking about why did the NFL opt to not suspend Tyreek Hill. Here's Ian Rappaport's explanation.
I was expecting no suspension. I was expecting no fine. It basically read kind of like I had thought, honestly. And there's, you know, a couple things that went into it. And obviously we know the audio that was released around the time of the draft was, you know, not good. Nothing good about that at all. And I got someone called me about 2 days ago and said, make sure you listen to the entire 11-minute audio. So I said, okay. So I listened to the entire 11-minute audio that Crystal Espinal secretly recorded involving her and Tyreek Hill as they went through an airport. And his comments come off very differently in that she doesn't deny when Hill claims that she basically made up the 2014 incident. And she also admits that she knows that Hill did not break the arm of her son. There's a lot in there. The NFL talked to Hill. They talked to people on both sides. They did not talk to Crystal Espinal, who did not make herself available for comment. But the end result of all of this was he ended up not being suspended.
Okay, so Ian Rappaport there, he says that if you listen to the full 11-minute video, Crystal Espinal doesn't deny when Hill said she basically made up the 2014 domestic abuse mm-hmm. incident. And Rappaport says she also admits she knows Hill did not break the arm of her son, neither of which is true at all. Here is the part of the tape in which Tyreek Hill questions Crystal Espinal about the 2014 okay. incident. You listen and tell me whether or not she admits that she lied about that.
A 3-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm.
Right. Like I said, I got to. But before y'all had moved here, none of this. I broke my arm. I beat women. None of that. Because I don't do none of that. That 2014 OD. That's a lot too. You can ruin my life and you lied on me in 2014. I'm
still
not over that.
Lie about.
I didn't touch you in 2014.
Where did the bruises come from, Tyreek?
Did I hit you?
Where did the bruises come from?
Did I hit you though?
I'm asking, where did the bruises come from?
Did I hit you though? Did I hit you? Tell the truth. Tell me the truth in my eyes.
No, you're not thinking about what had happened.
Look at me.
We're not thinking about that. Right now the issue is.
No, we're gonna handle both of these issues right now. Why that's on my chest? Because still hurt over that, bro.
And you don't think that this hurts me?
And when you walked outside and turned around, what you had said? Are you sure you're done with me? And what I had said? You can go home. And we done.
Okay, so basically,
so
then
why
they're relitigating
she just
the
say
incident.
If because he keeps asking, right?
And she wants to redirect the conversation
but
back
that's
to their
where,
son.
That's where I'm kind of lost, like, because, like I said, that was the first 3 minutes, and that's the portion that I heard. And, like, why doesn't she just go, yeah, you hit me?
Well, I mean,
do you think it's because she knows she's recording?
Well, I mean, I think that plays a role into it, sure, and she wants to talk about their son. And also remember, they are sitting next to each other on an airplane while this is happening. So it's
business class,
right.
But I mean,
right
that has nothing to do with it because
well, but I mean,
the way they're talking to each other, that's, you know, F this, N word that, you know, this, you know, swearing up a storm.
Oh, it's certainly not a classy conversation.
Right, so it's not like she's going, oh, we don't want
to. Rappaport says,
yeah, but what happens in business class stays in business class.
That is
class,
true.
But
knows.
She Rappaport says she doesn't deny when Hill said she made up the 2014 incident. She redirects a conversation. He doesn't comment on
she
that at all.
She doesn't deny or she doesn't.
Right, so that's Rappaport, I think, misrepresenting it. And I want to play this part, too, at the full audio tape. So Rappaport says, Crystal Espinal admits she knows Hill did not break the arm of her son. That is not true at all, either. Here's another portion of that.
No, but you're not listening to me. Think about why a freaking 3-year-old would tell everybody and anybody that you broke his arm. Why would do that? Then
not,
why?
I'm the one that plays with him, maybe. That's why.
So she asked that question numerous times, and Hill, you know, deflects, but she does not say that she lied about Tyreek Hill breaking the arm of their 3-year-old. So Ian Rappaport is totally misrepresenting what that tape says. Totally misrepresenting it.
Well, like I said, to go back to the original
ridiculous
piece, the first piece we heard. She doesn't deny it, but she also doesn't say, yes, you put your hands on me. So I'm kind of like, if I'm sitting there on a jury and I'm listening to this and I'm just trying to base, you know, what I hear on this little back and forth, he's asking her, did I hit you? Did I hit you? And she's saying,
she said, how did I get the bruises?
Right.
And, well, she's talking about the 3-year-old son. Where did the bruises come from? I think
this was 2004.
Yeah, 2000. But she also does mention in the first things that this is what Tyreek Hill said in 2014 in that incident. He allegedly grabbed her and threw her against the wall. And he goes, no, I picked you up and put you outside the house.
Right.
And all I'm saying is, when you hear that audio, that first part, and we could play that again, she doesn't deny the fact that he hit her, or she doesn't say, you did hit me. So I'm kind of like...
But she doesn't say that she lied about it, which is what Rappaport says. She doesn't say that at all. That is a total lie.
She doesn't say anything. If you could play the first part again, when if you can listen to it, he keeps asking her, but she doesn't really say anything.
Let's hear that again. That portion of it, the first part that we were playing earlier, because you're right, she doesn't answer directly, but I mean, Rappaport, I think, misrepresented what was said, and it's also worth saying that, this is not about the 2014 incident, this suspension issue, this is about the child abuse incident.
But then you say
happened.
Rappaport said that they when you listen to it, or when the NFL listened to it, they start to question, right? Because that's the thing, right? If they're going to make their decision, which to me, I think the biggest problem in this whole thing, it's more than the Tyreek Hill. It's the Roger Goodell and him having the ability. We all know that he's had the ability, and he's been swinging his power around like, you know, Thor's Stormbreaker hammer where... he doesn't need.
I think Roger Goodell does have a Stormbreaker hammer. Yeah, it's called Article 46.
Right. He would appreciate it that you compare him to Thor. Right, nice, Rob, as well. Good CBA reference.
Nobody knows the CBA more than me.
Where he doesn't need evidence to levy a suspension.
Right.
And when you think about, okay, there might have been, because Reema, you make a good point, right? She doesn't say you did hit me, but he did plead guilty. So that means there was something that he did. That doesn't necessarily mean that he hit her, but he did something wrong that, you know, his lawyers say, hey, best thing to do is plead
guilty. And you go back to this child abuse incident. Again, you had police visit this residence twice in a 9-day span. The kid was removed from the house. The kid suffered a broken arm. They said that in the police report. So obviously something untoward went on. Here's a part of the audio again that you're referencing, Wiggy.
Where did the bruises come from, Tyreek?
Did I hit you?
Where did the bruises come
from? Did I hit you, though?
I'm asking, where did the bruises come from?
Did I hit you, though? Did I hit you? Tell the truth.
So, I mean...
Right. Yeah,
so,
that was 2014.
Yeah, that's the 2014.
Okay, even better. Then she doesn't say that she lied about it.
No, she doesn't say anything.
So why does Rappaport and Schefter said a similar thing? Why do they say the audio makes Tyreek Hill look better?
Maybe because she doesn't answer that question, right? So maybe, and I don't know, I'm just kind of, I'm just saying this with Rappaport and Schefter, right? You would think that if he did hit her in that situation, when he's asking her over and over and over, and clearly she knows she's recording it, if he did hit her, she would go, yeah, remember you punched me, this, that, and the other?
Well, but she says, where did the bruises come from? I mean, so she's asking him a question, like, if you didn't do it, if you didn't do this, where did they come from? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, she's not saying she lied about it.
To go to why you, excellent post, by the way, Alex, about breaking that down, what Rappaport said.
It was fun to transcribe.
I bet on a beautiful Saturday.
It's very weird that he calls his fiance bro.
That is bizarre. It jumped out right away.
Hey, bro.
But as the media columnist, I was also asked this. This really doesn't have to do with Tyreek Hill, but with Ian Rappaport and the NFL Network, and you talk about Goodell, like when I'm listening to that interview the other day, like I'm thinking he can't really like go
smear.
Well, yeah, he can't. I mean, for lack of a better term, like can't tell the truth.
Well,
here.
he's a PR person, but that's basically for the National Football League.
And that's
League.
The problem. And when I think he said at one point, we're talking about the Chiefs' support of Tyreek Hill. It's like, I couldn't report that because no one would believe me. Like, what? Like, what are you talking? Like, why not?
Well, I think you have an issue where these guys, Rappaport, Schefter, all these insiders, they break trades before they happen, free agent signings. When it comes to this stuff, they look bad. I mean, let's remember the Ray Rice incident 5 years ago. What was the famous quote from Adam Schefter at the start of it? Many around the league are wondering whether Roger Goodell was lenient enough. Lenient enough. So that was Adam Schefter when this first started, saying that many around the league think that Roger Goodell went too hard on Ray Rice with that 2-game suspension. So it's just, they carry the water of the league, and it's laughable. And if you listen to the tape, it does not exonerate Hill in any fashion.
And another thing with Hill, it's like, this is another case of, well, how does the league react with the most force and the most, I guess, like, the most pointed way is mm-hmm. when videos are involved, right?
Right.
It's not until the videos are involved. But without the videos, they can get around this stuff because we all know, and this has been surfaced a lot over the last few days, is if you talk about the code of conduct, if someone's threatened, that's the code of conduct.
Right.
You should be punished right. for it. But the NFL can just default to, well, you know, they said this, they said that, we don't really know. Until the video comes out.
Well, right. Well, their biggest thing is conduct detrimental, right? But the problem is with Goodell, that could be anything.
It's too much room for interpretation.
Yeah, what does that
without
mean, conduct detrimental? Could it be the fact that we have this situation here? And I think the problem, when you look at this whole Goodell should have done something, right? I mean, you're sitting there and we know that this relationship is toxic. Whether or not we have enough hard evidence, we know something's going on. And we don't know what that might necessarily be. We can only kind of, you know, give our opinions based on what we know with this little bit of evidence that we have. So to me, I think that's enough for Goodell, because we've seen him do it in the past with less than that,
right.
And go, you know what? I'm going to suspend this guy for 4 games.
Right. And the personal conduct policy says nothing about guilt or innocence in the
right.
court of law.
Nope.
It's conduct detrimental, as you mentioned. And also, the personal conduct policy says this: any league employee who levies threats, intimidation, harassment, or any other adverse action to another person stands in violation of the policy. Tyreek Hill threatens Crystal Espinal on that tape. He goes, "You need to be terrified of me, bitch. That's why you can't keep an effing man." That is a threat right there. That is against the personal conduct policy. So we don't even need proof that Tyreek Hill broke his 3-year-old son's arm. We have a threat. It is recorded on tape. Yeah, that is a threat. It is recorded on tape. That is against the conduct policy. He should be suspended on those grounds alone, never mind the abuse incident.
So the bigger picture is here is the commissioner being a huge hypocrite.
Yes.
And that's that should be the, you know, obviously the Tyreek Hill situation is just bad. Like I said, you have two people that should not be in the same area code. Forget about the same room trying to raise a kid together, because their relationship is as toxic as it gets. And then, but the biggest picture is you have the commissioner who's, like I said, he's swinging around that gavel, that hammer, that stormbreaker, like it's, you know,
Thor.
Thor, like he's Odin's son.
Yes.
And here he is. Now, when you see a situation and you go, like, all right, everybody in their mind thought, like, well, are the Chiefs going to cut Tyreek Hill? Is he going to be suspended for
Once
the
again,
year? Is he out of the league?
Unless it's too much room for interpretation. If you're going to give that with Roger Goodell, it's going to be doomed. You're going to be doomed. And by the way, speaking of his dad,
mm-hmm.
did you see also his dad? His dad was very against the Apollo landing, going to the moon.
He was, Charles Goodell,
yes. Very. I mean, so if you have...
Too much cost.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are we doing here? If you have a family not in favor of going to the moon, what's
That's
happening?
It. I mean, maybe Goodell can, you know, levy a suspension to NASA or something.
But you mentioned, Wiggy, that it comes down to Roger Goodell being a hypocrite. There was
right.
a profile of Damaris Smith, the NFLPA head in the Washington Post, in which Damaris Smith basically says that Roger Goodell has no power whatsoever. He says that when he wants to get something done, he calls Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft and talks with them for hours, and he'll talk with Goodell for 20 minutes. So should we really blame Roger Goodell for the NFL's ridiculous, contradictory, hypocritical, to quote the great Mike Mutnansky, disciplinary practices, or should we blame the owners? I want to pick that up on the other side with your calls, 617-779-7937, Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo. But first, here's what's trending now.
Now more of Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
There was context if you listen to the full 11 minutes. Anybody who listened to the full 11 minutes of that tape might have a different opinion. I'm not defending this. I'm trying to explain to you why the league decided to do what it did. And viewed in the context of the overall investigation, the league also included interviews with family members on both sides and Tyreek Hill. And after that audio tape, oddly enough, that couple, Tyreek Hill and his then-fiancée, flew back as a couple to the States, and then were a couple again. So it is just a very strange situation. And the one thing that I safely can say is that I don't think what everybody assumed is just automatically true. I think there's a lot of tentacles and layers to this. And it's easy to just to jump to conclusion. And again, I'm not defending Tyreek Hill. I'm trying to explain to you why the league did what it did. And I think the Chiefs believe that Tyreek Hill put himself in this position and he has himself to blame. There's no question about that. But they think that there's a big difference between that and what he was accused of doing. And they don't think that he injured his child. Chiefs don't. Nor does the NFL. Obviously, by the way, it concluded this investigation, leaving it open in the event that more evidence does surface.
That was Adam Schefter on OMF, much like Ian Rappaport, saying if you listen to the full audio tape, which you've
about 8.5 minutes through.
Right. And in the last portion are the parts that have already been released, where he threatens her, you better be terrified of me, and so all that. So we've heard the last portion of it. So,
but the thing that I like about the whole 11 minutes is we got that portion of it, right?
Right.
Prior to the 11 minutes coming out. So we don't know what led up to it. Because the thing about what's cool with the full audio, you start to hear what leads up to why they're saying certain things. You know what I mean?
Right. But do you think, I mean, Schefter and Rappaport both said on our airwaves Friday that the full 11-minute tape paints Tyreek Hill in a much different light and makes you question his culpability. So what, do you view the situation differently now?
I'm starting to question the situation a little bit differently after hearing this, because he asked her a number of times, unknowing that he's being recorded.
Right. Like she's secretly recording them. By the way, they're boarding a flight at Dubai International Airport. Right. So all this is going on while they're going to embark on, how far is that flight from the Middle East to Kansas City? It's a long way. Robin, it's hell of a flight.
Most baffling part. If you listen to the tape, I think that he was trying to get in toward the end. It's like, oh, come on, you think about this right. on the flight. Right. By the time that flight was halfway done, they probably made up.
Right, because he's like saying stuff to her, and then all of a sudden it's like, did you guys pick anything that you need to be checking in? Yeah. It's like, right, no, that bag belongs to me.
Right, the flight, and it's a normal conversation. The flight attendant interrupts them. It's very
that
strange.
That was one of the most bizarre flight of all time.
Well, when you listen so to weird. The full audio, you start to you clearly could tell that these two people are absolute psycho bats.
No, I hope that kid is not back in
there. Right, and I don't know. And I've been looking forward to see where the kid was.
They should not be raising
Schefter a
toddler.
Schefter can say what he did. You know, he say, hey, you can listen to that, and you might have a
but
different perspective.
But I disagree.
But wait, 1 second. Right. I think that what he is not surfacing, and maybe this is what you were going to say, Alex, the biggest thing here is that Tyreek Hill deserves to get suspended or punished because he violated a rule, which was threatening somebody, like, as we know, as
it's
is
right
doc-
there in the
as
personal documented, conduct policy.
And Schefter doesn't bring that up. Rappaport doesn't bring that up. And that is a black and white, no question about it.
They're carrying the league's water, basically, these guys. And that's what they do in stories like this. They defend
the
league office.
But that's how they, like you said, they stay plugged in. And when you listen to it and you start to think, okay, and you're trying to make, you should be saying, okay, that there was a situation, right, in 2014 that took place. And from the way that you hear the audio, he makes it sound like, okay, I didn't, because she goes at one point in the audio, she goes, oh, you put your hand around my throat. And he's like, nah, bro, you lying. He's like, I did grab you and move you out of my house.
So he does admit to some sort of physical contact.
Right.
And she doesn't say, as Rappaport said to Dale and Keefe, that Crystal Espinal basically says that she lied about the 2014 incident. She does not say anything of the like in the audio. So that was a total misrepresentation.
No, she doesn't say anything that makes her say, like, she lied about it, but she doesn't say anything that makes her seem like she was telling the truth about
Why?
It. Well, because when he asked her, like, he goes, did I punch you in the face? Did I punch you in the lip? You would think that if somebody did something to you in a physical sense and they asked you that, and you were recording it, and you'd go, yeah, don't you remember you punched me right in my face?
Well, she's saying, where did the bruises come from? And then she directs it back to their son.
When they say that, like, I don't
know. Why does he say, did I punch you in the face or punch you in the lip?
I don't know.
I mean, because
there are areas of the body
in
which you
can be punched. Yeah, to me, I would take away from, like, well, no, but you did this to me.
But he said, that's what I'm saying. He said that I punched you in the face, the chest, anywhere in the arm, because I guess in the 2014 incident, the reason why he's asking her that, because you asked the question, why is he saying that? She allegedly said, and this is what he says on the audio, that you told the court that I punched you and beat you
right.
up. And so that's why he's saying
If you go by what this audio was, if we're talking about the 2014 incident, you, at least I would take away, is that he had some physical contact right. with her and did something, and maybe it wasn't exactly how it was portrayed in court or right. whatever, but there was something.
And again, he
here.
Pleaded right. guilty to it, which yeah. is the important part of this as well. And there's no doubt in my mind that both of them, Crystal mm-hmm. Esmeralda and Tyreek Hill, abused their young son, because she even says, the Child Protective Services lady later in the tape says that you don't discipline him positive
no,
light
it doesn't,
or exonerate
it doesn't
him.
Paint,
it does not.
It doesn't paint him any type of positive light. And I don't think it like exonerates him in the sense of exonerate him to the point where he did nothing. Right. It seems like he did something, whether that's like you said, Bradfo, put his hands on her, whether that's like you said, Reamer says, you need to be scared of me, bitch. Goodell should have done something. That's what it comes back to, is that
right.
you have this situation. And Goodell did nothing, because initially when we first heard this, everybody's thing was, are the Chiefs going to cut him? You know, and I could see the Chiefs going, well, let's wait till all the
information comes.
Because
out. They were very supportive.
Right, because
Ian Rapoport, he couldn't even believe it.
And Tyreek Hill thanked everybody for their support as well.
Well, because of who he is. And let's be honest, it's the way the world works, because he's an unbelievable athlete who, you know, means a lot to that team. If he was the third string wide receiver, he would have been out on his ass a long time ago, and Goodell probably would have suspended him for, you know, 8 games.
Here's one of the disturbing parts of this whole thing in terms of the NFL, is that when you talk about domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
they aren't doing enough. I mean, they just simply are not
they're
doing
enough. They're
actually
softening their
approach. They're not doing enough. As I said before, they're waiting for videos to come out to actually do things. And even when they have videos come out, and like the Joe Mixon case, I know that was back in college.
Right.
But I would say this. If you really want to send a message to people, then you say you have that video of that kid in college doing what he did to that woman. And you say, hey, you know what? You are not playing in the NFL for a year. After you get out of college, you have to wait an entire year. Don't you think that?
But you'd have to get the NFLPA
right.
to agree upon that.
Okay, so,
and that's hard, because now it's like, listen, here's it, it's like
fight we, that battle, Wiggy. Fight
well,
it.
It's like we saw the kid Simmons from this year,
Jeffrey Simmons. Just going to bring him up,
and the Patriots were talking about drafting him. Right, here's a kid that you see him on tape, you know, which is unbelievably horrible what he's doing to this girl. She's
pummeling
like
a woman on the ground.
He's hitting her with like a 3-piece no biscuit.
Right.
Right, she's on the ground. The sister's 600 pounds beating her up anyways. I don't know why he had to jump in. He's beating up this girl, but it goes back to where people would say, well, here he was at the time, a 17, 18-year-old kid, and everybody, you know how it is nowadays, everybody says, hey, we've all made mistakes, we've all did things in our past, we should be able to have the opportunity to come back from those mistakes, right? You know, and if he was a model citizen at, what do you go, Ole Miss or Arkansas?
Ole Miss, Jeffrey Simmons.
So he was a model citizen there.
Of course, and I have no issue with that, just the NFL. So after Ray Rice, he instituted the new, you know, policy, 6 games for domestic
right.
incidents. The only person who's been suspended the full 6 games is Ezekiel Elliott. And that was a strange investigation.
And
that
wasn't even a domestic abuse thing. That was like something that happened in college, and then it was pulling down the girl's shirt.
Right, and his girlfriend, according to investigators, was inconsistent with them, lied
right.
to them. So the evidence actually painted towards Elliott's exoneration. He was not found culpable in a court of law, and yet he was suspended the full 6 games
but
as well.
But did he get that suspension reduced, though?
No, he didn't.
But here's the thing with Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know exactly what Tyreek Hill did, but I don't think it's a coincidence that now we have multiple cases involving Tyreek Hill. This isn't.
Right.
This is
amazing,
like
amazing
this is
what's
the whole
happening
thing,
to
and you, Wiggy, you probably saw it with former teammates or players, guys standing in their lockers saying, "I don't know why this keeps happening to me."
Right.
Well, I tell you what, it's not happening to me, and there's a reason why it's not
right.
happening to me, because I choose to not put myself in that situation. So my point is that if we're going to get punishment like this for Tyreek Hill, what's to say that something isn't going to happen again? It certainly isn't deterring something like this
no.
to happen
and,
again.
And the court documents are still under seal. There's still an investigation going on. I mean, more information come to light about this as well. But you mentioned it's Goodell's fault. I think it's really the owners making this call here, Wiggy. This Washington Post profile on DeMore Smith, NFLPA head, talks about how he thinks Goodell has very little power. Smith suggests Goodell, despite his reputation, actually possesses little influence on the league's agenda. Calling the commissioner, Smith says, usually leads to Goodell reaching out to a key franchise owner, often Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones. So if Smith wants to resolve something, he might spend 20 minutes talking with Goodell, 3 years and 3 hours directly lobbying an owner. My point is, I think Goodell is calling and consulting Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, other power brokers before he makes these decisions on whether or not to suspend players. So it's really not Goodell. So then that, I think it's the owners.
Like, but that would be like saying, so then he calls Kraft and says, hey, Tyreek Hill, here's this information we got. Here's the investigation we did. What should we do? And Kraft goes, oh, you shouldn't suspend him for a game. But yet you suspended my quarterback for four games for not
playing
even,
with deflated balls.
But not even having any evidence of him messing right. with the footballs.
Because they know that it's good for business for Tyreek Hill and star players to be on the field. And Robert Kraft, above all else, is a businessman.
So
and
you think Kraft would really say, don't suspend Tyreek Hill for zero games, knowing that there's something that happened, right? There's some type of issue that went on. That you believe Kraft would go, nah, don't suspend them.
I think Kraft in general, like all owners, wants star players to be on the field because he wants ratings to be high and he wants the league to make the most money possible. Yes, no, I do think that.
There's no way. I think that even if I think even if Goodell is calling commissioners, whether it's Kraft or Jones, and trying to say, hey, here's what the situation we have here. What should I do? What advice would you give me? I think those guys would go, all right, let's look at the situation. And in this situation here, go, you know what? You got to at least suspend them for four games.
This goes back to what you said, Wiggy, about Goodell. And this isn't a news flash, but his inconsistency the entire time he's been commissioner. Obviously, Deflategate is a perfect example of this.
Right.
But that was about him retaining his power.
No, I understand. But we have these other commissioners, and they're flawed, sure. But we kind of know where they are going to land. With Goodell, you're all over the place. That's when the Kraft thing came up. The initial reaction was he could have the franchise taken away from him, or he could not be suspended at all. We have no idea because we don't know where Goodell's going because he's making the decisions and they're not in the wrong motivation. Whether it's the owners or whether it's the right thing to do, we don't know.
See, but I think it's all about Goodell. But Rima, you think that it's Goodell calling the owners, getting advice right. by the owners.
I do not think Goodell acts alone. I do not.
No. And we all know, Alex, that he is driven by owners. So that's not a news
flash. So then does each situation differ in which owner he's going to call?
No, I think they all, in general, are on the same team. Even remember Robert Kraft during Deflategate.
So what about Deflategate?
Well, because Robert Kraft, if you remember, was not necessarily on Tom Brady's side publicly as much as people wanted him to be. He capitulated to the NFL.
Yeah,
well, he said he would drop the suit.
He came out of the owners' meetings and he said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to let the league take care
of it." So Robert
Kraft, like a week after they put the Wells report in context,
going to the wall defending Brady. I mean, they had the Wells report in context, but Kraft kind of sided with the league.
That was almost a week. That was about a week after they put that up on the website, the Wells report and contacts. He goes to the owners meeting. He meets with all the owners, all these other guys. He comes out and said, "I'm going to let the league take care of it." That was one of the worst looks when it comes to Robert Kraft.
I think he thought what was going to happen was they were going to take care of him and do him a solid and go, there's really nothing we found here,
but
we're not going to suspend Brady at all.
But just because you suspended Tom Brady four games for a ridiculous reason, now Robert Kraft is going to demand that every star player miss significant portions of the season that would affect the league's bottom line?
I don't think that Goodell is reaching out to any of the owners in this situation. I think that Goodell is making the decisions based on the information that he has. And, you know, when it comes to the owners, he might maybe reach out and say, hey, we have a situation here, but I'm going to take care of it. I think this is purely based on Roger Goodell having that ability, like Bradford said, in the CBA.
Article 46.
Saying basically, I can do what it is I want when it comes to suspensions. I don't need evidence. I don't need proof. I don't need anything. If I want to suspend you for four games because it's conduct detrimental to the NFL, that's my opinion on what I deem to be conduct detrimental.
We got to take a break. 617-779-7937. Jared and others, we see you on the line. We'll grab you next.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Think about why a freaking three-year-old would tell everybody and anybody that you broke his arm. Why would do that?
I'm the only one that plays with him. Maybe that's why.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect.
Me.
It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me too.
That's the most damning portion of the Tyreek Hill tape. And not alone, as we've covered, according to the NFL personal conduct policy, any league employee who levies threats, intimidation, harassment, or any other adverse action to another person stands in violation of the policy. So right then and there, we
that
have enough
proof. That should at
least
got him a game.
Right. Should have at least sat him out for a game, a couple games, whatever it is. It did not, though. Tyreek Hill not suspended by the league. We're talking about it with you at 617-779-7937. Jared and Woburn's been hanging on. What's up, Jared?
I just wanted to say there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think Adam Schefter's take is a lot closer to how you should be thinking about it than some of the things you guys are saying.
And likeness.
So, first of all, the broken arm occurred sometime between late December and early January. Why was the police not called until
How do you know March? The police visited twice in March, and how do you know the broken arm was suffered in December, January? I missed that part.
Because nobody has been paying attention to this.
Well, how do you know?
Nobody is also, because there's actually a picture on Instagram of the son in a
Spider-Man. He's in
a January.
He's in a Spider-Man outfit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's in a Spider-Man outfit, and he has a cast on.
Okay.
So when he talks about listening to the whole 11 minutes of the conversation, he also says, in the overall context. And that's what you have to look at, right? There's a lot of inconsistencies in the way these allegations were brought. Number one being calling up the police 2 months later. Then the second time the police were called, that was actually Tyreek calling the police because he was out of the house and he had seen that that Crystal had fallen asleep and he was worried about the safety of his kids going around the house while she was asleep.
But Jared, but you heard the videotape too, though, where, you know, Crystal Espinal says that our son is terrified of you. Our son says, daddy hits me. Why did 3-year-old lie about that?
And earlier in the tape, he vehemently denies that his son is terrified of him. He says his son loves him.
Do you believe Tyreek Hill?
What I believe for sure is there's a lot of question marks about how he's been implicated in this, and that the whole 11 minutes actually tells you that something was wrong from the very beginning.
Okay,
the other thing, keep in mind for the original incident, which is really the reason why everyone assumes he's a terrible person.
Which he pleaded guilty to, by the way.
What he pleaded guilty to was a slap on the wrist for accusations that were horrible. Why do you think that was? In fact, he had a good lawyer who, during the discovery phase, if you go back and look at the pictures that came out, if you go back and look at the actual court documents, they had a very weak case. Why do you think the prosecutor gave him a slap on the wrist? Because there was an extremely weak case. There were so many inconsistencies in her testimony, and there was the fact that she talked about being punched, being her head slammed against the wall. No evidence of any of that.
Jared, can I ask you this, though? And you're right. There's a lot of room for interpretation here. But there is one thing in that tape, as we have been saying, where he threatens her. And if you're talking NFL Code of Conduct, we know that if that's the case and there is proof of that, then you should be punished. Why do you think that he's not being punished for that?
Because this is the context of how the tape was taken, right? Think about it. So
but it happened.
The full context. No,
but listen just a second. So what happened between December, when the kid's arm was broken, and March? What happened was that Tyreek basically said, we're not getting married. That's a matter of public record, too, and it's part of his explanation of what went on.
You're bogging this down. I ask you a very simple question. In this tape, he said, she said that he's afraid of you, and he said, you should be afraid of me, too.
Look, I'm not trying to justify him using those kinds of words against her, but I'm saying if you look at it in the total context of it, where potentially she was quite dishonest around the original charges that put him in this situation. And then she basically calls the cops for a broken arm that happened 3 months earlier, only after they split up.
But Jared, the cops did remove the kid from their house, though. The cops
Jared, I am kind of like, as they're talking, going back, he puts this picture up and it's actually, he's with a guy dressed as Spider-Man. He has a broken left arm. And this was, I guess, a picture that he might have put up right around the Pro Bowl. So this would be January, right. For that. But then there was also another thing that came out, and I don't know how true this was, where he actually puts a Snapchat of his kid up on March 15th, and the kid doesn't have a broken arm. And it's of like a Snapchat video. And I guess this was Tyreek Hill's response to at the time.
But the police report from March, one of the reports does say that the kid suffered a broken arm.
I know that, but we're trying to figure out the timeline. I don't know. Well, all I'm saying, when you look at this situation, and I listened to the whole 11 minutes, you know, as we've been going through the show, you start to hear there is a lot of inconsistencies, and Jared makes the point because Tyreek Hill does say that to the court. So, like Bradford said, something happened. Then when he gets arrested, she then takes whatever happened to another level, and that's where we get that 2014, which is gray. Then we have the kid, where we don't really know the actual date of the broken arm, because we do see the kid with the cast on during the Pro Bowl time, because there's a picture of it on his Instagram, on Tyreek Hill's Instagram.
Yeah, but in 2014, though, again, the tape, she never says that she made anything up. She doesn't say that. She doesn't explicitly say, yes, Tyreek Hill, you punched me in the face.
Right,
you punched
she doesn't
me in
say
the
anything.
But she doesn't. Right. She doesn't say anything.
But why wouldn't that be a perfect opportunity for her? You know, because Tyreek Hill doesn't know he's being taped.
No, she's
why
doing
would,
the
why
taping.
Wouldn't, you know, if somebody did something to me and I'm taping them and they say, oh, and they keep harassing me about this situation that I said you hit me, and why wouldn't I just say?
Because maybe she didn't want him to go off even further. They're sitting next to each other, you're going to have a long international flight from Dubai to Kansas City.
Yeah, but they're talking about all types of stuff. If he was going to blow a gasket, I mean,
she didn't want to aggravate him further, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of variables here as well.
I guess all I'm saying is when they listen to this tape and you start to say, okay, you know, how does the NFL make this decision based on the tape? It seems like you have two people. You don't know who to believe. You don't know who to trust, because she says on the tape that she's physically hit the child before.
Oh, yeah. No, does she? No, right. Yeah.
Right. So we don't know who to believe, and I think they make their decision on that. I think Goodell makes a bad decision not to at least say, okay, there's something that went on. We can't necessarily all put it 100% on Tyreek Hill, but we still have to suspend this guy, whether, like you said, it's for two games, four games, or whatever.
But let's also say, too, that, you know, Tyreek Hill comes across as very manipulative in that tape, continually asking Crystal Espinal, did I hit you? Did I hit you? Did I hit you? That is what an abuser does. They try to use your mind against you. They gaslight you, essentially, and they say that what you saw, what you experienced, was not the actual reality. So let's not just say that Tyreek Hill is some bystander.
No,
He's a manipulative guy who has this kind of history, so I'm not going to take what he says at face value either.
But you shouldn't take what she says at face value, because clearly we know there's something, right? We know that she's played a part in this before, in this toxic relationship. I've seen it before plenty of times with guys, you know, my brother-in-law deals with it with one of his baby mamas. There's a lot of situations where women will say stuff, and I'm not saying she is, but there are times when their relationship is bad. Both sides tend to make up a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of room for interpretation,
right.
and I don't think it is as cut and dry as I think that we initially thought, but I go back to what I said. Them not doing anything
is the issue.
Is a really bad look, and it's also it's really bad going forward. It just is. You have to, even if we have proof that a threat was made, right?
Right.
We have, so
indisputable.
If nothing else, punish him for that, and then go from there. Because by doing nothing, you're only putting these other guys in position to say, oh well, nothing happened, and this is only going to get worse. Alex, you said it. What is the NFL doing in terms of domestic abuse?
Very little.
Not enough.
They've gone backwards.
What ends up happening here, Bradford, is now with this new CBA that they're trying to get done, I think there has to be something put in place, set in there, where you take away the power from Goodell, which I think that's something that they're really going to do, and you say, we now take this thing to an independent like board or group or whatever, and each case, you know, has to be evaluated from this.
But the owners want Goodell to have the leverage in those negotiations.
What do you guys think are the top things that are plaguing the NFL in terms of, you know, in terms of, I don't want to say bad publicity, but
long term, it's the head injuries.
Okay, but I'm talking about behavioral things that, are hurting the NFL.
But this stuff does not affect the league's bottom line. 2014, no, and you had Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson.
I understand that.
But are you saying what could be a potential? No, what's the black eye on the league?
Yes.
I would say that it would be somewhere, some form of the domestic violence, right? Some, because we've seen a few cases before where this is out.
Okay, so whether it's domestic violence, whether it's drug use, whether it's HGH, whatever it is, the theme is for the NFL is that they aren't doing enough to detract or have these people not do these things. They just simply aren't. You have to go overboard. And sometimes it's not like, oh, well, you know, I can see what was going on. And we feel like this is proportionate in terms of what the punishment is. No, you have to go overboard. You have to make it clear that this is not
right.
We deal with this in the.
But how do you do that, Bradfo, when there's not enough clear evidence? You brought up Joe Mixon, right? That was easy because it was on tape.
Right.
Right. And the Tyreek Hill situation.
I'm saying the Tyreek Hill situation, you have him threatening someone, you punish him for that, and then you make it clear that if there's anything at all that you are going to get punished for. We deal with this in baseball, where guys are making money off of these runs there, where they're on HGH or whatever, on performance-enhancing drugs. You have to make the punishment even more. Now, they've made the punishment worse, but still, it's not enough.
Because it's all about the business interest, though. It hurts the NFL more, it hurts their bottom line more if you suspend Tyreek Hill than if you don't suspend Tyreek Hill. The public does not care about this domestic abuse stuff, really, because they still watch the games, they still buy the tickets, they still want to see
like
their star
players.
They
suspended Ezekiel Elliott, and
I think that was a personal thing. Remember, Jerry Jones was railing against Roger Goodell, criticizing the investigation.
That's what this is about. But see, I think that's where the issue is, Bradford, to kind of go to that question you ask, is how do you fix things? The problem is it's going to be too hard to fix because there's so much gray area. We talked about the Kareem Hunt thing, right? The Kareem Hunt situation, we talked about that at length.
And he did get an 8-game suspension.
He got an 8-game suspension, but there's video of it. So, like, in the Tyreek Hill situation, there's no video or evidence of what happened in 2014. It's his word against her word. He pleads guilty. We don't know why. Is it for lesser charges, whatever it may be? Then we have this situation with the son, right? We don't really know which one of them broke the kid's arm. We know that they both are in a toxic relationship. There's no video. The police then say, hey, we can't find anything here that proves it. Now it's up to the NFL to say, okay, we don't have enough evidence here. How do we then suspend guys without proper evidence?
I'm with you, Wiggy, but I'm saying that they have to take whatever they have in terms of proof, and they have to make sure that they have to put it at the top level of punishment. Let's Deflategate. You think anyone's going to deflate balls anymore?
No, I'm
completely serious about this. Do you think that anybody is going to tweak any football, which obviously was going on all over the place? Do you think anybody's going to do that? No. You know why?
But you suspended a guy that you had no proof. It's a perfect thing.
You're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point, because think about Sean Oakman, right? Do you guys know the story of Sean Oakman, the kid up from Baylor, right? Who basically, the girl lied about him actually sexually assaulting her. He ends up going to jail, misses out on going to the NFL, all this stuff. Then it comes 3 years later, he's exonerated on all charges, come to find out she was lying. So it's very difficult to suspend guys without proof, because now you can run into one of those situations.
We'll pick this up on the other side. We got to take a break. 617-779-7937. It's a great conversation. I think the NFL, you know, the Brady thing was not about the footballs. And also, the NFL has a vested interest in keeping these guys on the field. That's why they're not going to go overboard. They're going backwards. But again, we got to take a break. We'll pick this up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.